You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Project-based learning is just one approach in a whole range of techniques called student-centered learning. Researchers from the Stanford Center for Opportunity Policy and Education spent the last year and a half studying four Bay Area high schools that are using this approach. Their report was released last month and found the schools outperforming their district counterparts in test scores and graduation rates. KALW's Jen Chien spoke with the lead author of the study, Diane Friedlander, about what student-centered learning is and how it differs from what we see in most schools today.
So most schools are still, particularly high schools is what we're talking about, are really structured based on a very outdated model of an industrial model where students sit in rows, the teacher talks, the students listen, they take notes. And these student-centered schools are much more interactive. Students get to talk to each other. They get to work in groups. They solve real problems. They have lots of ways of showing what they know besides just answering a multiple choice test. So they can do a performance, or they can maybe write an essay or reenact something or do a video. There are lots of creative ways for students to demonstrate their learning. One story that always sticks with me from the study is I was talking to a biology teacher at Dozier Libby Medical High School in Antioch, and biology is a very visual topic. And he was saying, you know, not everybody can perform well on a multiple choice test or a fill in the blank kind of or essay kind of test. So sometimes if a student doesn't do well on a test, I'll have them come back in and ask them to draw what they know. And maybe that's a way that to access the student's knowledge. Because what's important is the student can demonstrate what they learn, not that they...
Not in a particular way that the teacher
mandates.
Not
that they
mandates.
Give it back in a way that the teacher thought might be the best way. Maybe the teacher's way wasn't the best way. And maybe that still didn't work. So then maybe I'll just sit down with the student and have a conversation like we're having right now. Tell me about meiosis. What's really going on there?
What about behavior and discipline? Some schools that serve low-income or students of color predominantly tend to have behavioral issues or discipline issues. What would you say to people that think those kids need more structure and more sort of top-down authority to help them be able to focus rather than more freedom or more ability to dictate their own learning?
Many schools that serve low-income students are predominantly students of color, there's a heavy emphasis on discipline. And what we saw in the schools in our study was that when the emphasis is on relationships, that discipline pretty much takes care of itself. And it is, it's like a second home for kids. And their teachers are like aunts and uncles. The discipline problems happen when kids feel like nobody cares, it doesn't matter, there's no point. They can't be successful, so it's easier to shut down. One of the schools that we studied, Life Academy in Oakland, is particularly excellent at building relationships. And they take their students to Yosemite on a long hike that's way harder than any student thinks they can possibly accomplish, 10 miles long up a waterfall, and the kids don't have the right shoes, and many of them aren't in good shape, and they really don't believe they can do it. And they draw on that experience for the rest of the kids' time at Life Academy. Remember that you actually climbed that waterfall and you didn't think you could? Well, you can try again on this math test. You can do this.
What is the difference between how teachers at a student-centered school are supported versus at a traditional school?
So at traditional schools, teachers are often working in isolation from each other, and they go into their classroom and they do their thing. And some teachers are great and students have a great experience, and some teachers haven't received the support that they need. And so in the student-centered schools, there's a unifying mission and vision, and everybody is on board. And they talk about it a lot and what that looks like in practice. They're taking it from the abstract to the practical. What does that really mean? So, for example, at City Arts and Tech, they decided to decrease the chaos that students experience in school, to have a common experience that every student experiences the second they set foot in a classroom. So everybody does the same kind of opening activity.
For every class.
Every classroom. Every student does the same kind of closing activity. The common note-taking system. Those kinds of things help create more coherence, which makes students able to actually focus on the learning piece rather than just navigating what are the rules in this space. Teachers need opportunities to observe good practice. They need opportunities to talk with each other.
You mean observing other teachers.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Observing each other and maybe going outside their school and observing student-centered practice in other schools to see what's possible. It's very hard to do something if you haven't actually seen it in practice. And then to reflect on their practice, to look at student work together, to look at students' schoolwork together and say, was this the best the student can do, or can we elevate our expectations? Those kinds of things all help improve instruction.
Do you feel optimistic about this student-centered learning approach coming more into schools? Do you see that happening? Is it increasing?
I do feel optimistic because I feel like there is a greater awareness of the need for what people are calling 21st century skills, which are the kinds of things that are connected with Common Core and the new assessments that are coming. So I do feel like the pendulum is starting to swing back towards the kind of interdisciplinary nature of instruction, which can happen, which is really how we live in the world. We don't live in content-specific
silos.
So that's much more how we live in the world. So it's a much more authentic way for students to learn as well. And so I do see a growing awareness that makes sense, and that there are multiple ways to measure what students know, and that we need to continue to think deeply about teacher quality and what that means and how we know when we see it. So those are all the components that I think are essential to improving schools, and I do feel like we are slowly moving in that direction. Not fast enough, but yeah.